The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. You know, Clyde Lewis is absolutely right. The host of Ground Zero, who's going to turn on the power, you know, that sort of thing. And that's why, just so you'll know, just in case the power goes off Saturday when Stan Mapolsky is at Grange Co-op, when we do the live broadcast at Potting Day over in White City. By the way, it's going to be a lot of fun. We will have our generator running. I ended up taking apart our Honda generator yesterday and cleaned the carburetor out again because it wouldn't start. You pulled and pulled and pulled and pulled. Yeah, a little clogged jet. The funny thing is that it was working in September, and I put it away for the winter, no gasoline in it, and it kind of clogged up again. I don't know how that happens. Probably moisture, something like that. Check those generators, run them every now and then. So there we go. There is our happy conspiracy theory Thursday day. Make sure and run your generator every now and then just to make sure so you're not in a panic when the Pacific Power smart grid ends up going down. In fact, I had a fellow named Poole, lives over in Wolf Creek, and he wrote me last night about Pacific Power. He says that, Bill, I'm getting all of this this electronic noise coming from the smart meter, and it seems to be on the AM broadcast band. Makes it very difficult to listen to AM radio over in Wolf Creek. And it's like we're listening to the kind of like computer sounds and then sending some data every now and then. I say, well, yeah, that could be a smart meter. Could be a problem with the smart meter because smart meter is actually way outside of the AM broadcast band, just in case you're wondering. That is about 900 megahertz somewhere in there. It's definitely in the VHF, very high frequency range for the noise. Now, I've been looking up trying to find out if they actually transmit data over the telephone line. There is some evidence that in some places they do that too, but I haven't been able to figure that out yet. I'll get back to you on that, Poole, okay? I appreciate your writing. Hey, always happy to try to help out on as many issues as we can this morning. All right, we have some serious news and we have some silly news too, okay? So, you know, when it's Conspiracy Theory Thursday, it's always great to have a little bit of both. Comes to the serious and the not so serious. Well, we could have one serious story to start and one silly story to start, and then we'll move on and maybe have another silly story. Okay. So the first silly story, it's a little leftover from Eclipse Monday. I don't know if you had read about this or heard about this, but there was a Mexican TV network, RCG, that during the eclipse time. They ended up playing a video of a man's testicles. Like a viewer had sent in a video shot of his private parts, and they were covering the sun or like moving over the sun, and they played it. It's like they didn't really check it out; they just played it, and as the private parts ended up covering the sun, and then finally the two female co-hosts are kind of looking in stunned silence at this once they realized what it was. Don't know if they needed any special glasses. It's kind of like one of those Bart Simpson kind of moments. And what makes it really funny, I guess, with Linda and I heard about this story, we just started giggling like school kids because that's just the way it is. And I don't know if RCG would be firing anybody or not, but that's the Mexican channel, not the FCC. FCC wouldn't have any control of that. So that's one silly story. Now, there is one national serious story here, too. President Joe Biden calling on Hamas to accept the current ceasefire proposal while his administration eagerly awaits the terrorist group's response. It's now up to Hamas, the president said yesterday. They need to move on the proposal that has been made. Now, Hugh Hewitt, who, of course, does 3 to 5 this morning, and he said a total unilateral ceasefire for 2 months. The hostages will die if any of them are alive. That's what Hugh thinks about that. Another story this morning, the Republicans in the House have blocked the extension so far of FISA, the big FISA spying court, the overall surveillance court on Americans. Daily Wire reporting yesterday, GOP-led House blocked the advancement of a bill that sought to reauthorize Section 702 of FISA for the next 5 years, and to bring the legislation up for consideration. It's a big setback for Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson vouched for the bill after former President Donald Trump urged lawmakers to reject the spy program used to monitor non-U.S. citizens abroad. But, of course, American citizens are caught up in the dragnet all the time through this. It's pretty well known at this point. So that's a couple of serious stories. Another serious story, Northern California this time. We'll have Captain Bill Simpson on next hour to put some meat on the bone of this particular story. He's reporting in Siskiyou.News. You know, Captain Bill Simpson has been keeping on the Klamath Dam removal tragedies that are going on here, the amazing environmental destruction going on. And in Siskiyou.News, trouble in dam removal paradise. Kiewit has pulled out of the Klamath River Dam project. I believe this is an engineering firm that has been involved with drilling the land around the dam. And I can't quite say I'm fully up on what Bill is out, which is up to, which is why I invited him on next hour to talk about this. But Mark Branson, CEO of the Klamath River Removal Corporation, stated the following in line item of their letter, according to Mr. Sean Liam's email to Ms. Elizabeth Jacquot Matt of his office. Kiewit has aborted the Iron Gate development drilling program in its entirety, negating the requirement for the DPP. I don't know what that is. We'll get that from Bill. Therefore, we will not provide comments on the DPP. We remind you that you may not proceed with exploratory drilling in any of the project without prior authorizations from this office. In the concluding paragraph of the letter from FERC, this is from FERC, the feds, to KRRC, FERC said, we cannot authorize the Iron Gate Dam removal at this time because of this this lack of drilling. And apparently the lack of drilling means that there are more troubles in that dam area than had been first thought. Insurance companies may be getting very nervous, you know, about this right now as well. We think they should. And there's an excerpt in there from the dam engineer, Stephen Koshy's letter. And a quote says, this is a quote from an engineer involved in this dam removal process. In the foregoing dam collapse scenario, over 1 million tons of mud, gravel, and rock debris would move down the Klamath River, covering the riverbank and properties, including homes. The loss of life would be significant. Apparently, this has to do with the stability of the dam structure and the mud and everything which is left behind, which, of course, we kind of figured was a problem before. Now that they've blown the dam partially, now we're supposed to worry about it rather than having taken care of this in the first place. All right, so that's one story. We'll put some meat on that bone. Like I mentioned, Captain Bill Simpson will be joining me at 7:10. So call in early, and we'll have a good conversation about it, and he'll try to explain what this really means, okay? Meanwhile, Rogue Valley Times reporting that the Medford School District budget presentation going on tonight. And, yeah, there's a shortfall. $15 million short. That's real money, even for the PERS math wizards over at Medford 549C. $15 million budget. This is... Executive summary of the budget preview lists multiple financial challenges ahead, inadequate funding in the face of inflation. Nobody wins in inflation, folks. And boy, we're getting it good and hard. Increased state mandates, more inflation, and the end of the elementary and secondary school emergency relief funding from the federal government. Let me translate. That's the COVID bailout money. A lot of these agencies have been dealing with... have actually been living on the heroin money kicked in from the federal government, and that's running out. A lot of times they end up expanding, even during those things, using that, and then all of a sudden, this money's not going to be here forever? But that's what the school district did. They'll be talking about that this evening, 5:30, if you wanted to find out more, Oakdale Middle School, room 230, Oakdale Avenue in Medford. Be careful crossing the street at Main and Oakdale, right? We don't just go in there, right? Meanwhile, Daily Courier reporting that Shady Cove is fighting the governor's potential veto on the infrastructure. You know, the one that Tina Kotek said going to kick out that $1.5 million in state infrastructure funding could be vetoed by Governor Tina Kotek because, well, $2.5 million for woke plays at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival is much more higher priority, apparently. Tom Corrigan, city administrator for Shady Cove, said the city is definitely disappointed by this potential red line veto. But they're certainly going to work on this. It's about a reliable water source, could pave the way for more housing. Everything about this, Tina Kotek is now taking or having second thoughts about some of this stuff because a lot of these projects she's thinking don't actually directly involve building houses. Of course, on one hand, or the other hand rather, you can't build houses unless you have an adequate water supply. You're not going to be building houses anywhere. Or sewer pipes as some of the places you're talking about, or the water connection like the city of Gold Hill is needing. And so everyone's going to end up fighting for their money. Now, just to make everybody in Southern Oregon feel better about water treatment plants, especially Grants Pass. You know, Grants Pass, Medford's going to be improving the water plant too, and they're going to be raising rates. Everyone's talking about this. Everybody wants more, 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 even if you're not getting more, more, more. But just to make the city of Grants Pass feel better, Portland officials now project the cost of a new water plant, already the most expensive city project history that they've ever done, is now going up another $300 million because of inflation. And the whole total for Portland is $2.13 billion. That is real money. All of a sudden, it makes the problems in Grants Pass look like nothing, right? Wow. And by the way, that's on top of $350 million in extra costs that the city people revealed last June. So, wow, inflation. And that's okay. It's all right. It's moderating. Just listen to the Biden administration. They'll tell you it's moderating. Nah, it's pretty much sticking. Got problems in the Jackson County budget, too. I shouldn't say problems. They've presented this. As contrasted with a lot of these other budget problems we've been talking about, it's manageable, though. Jackson County Administrator, this in Rogue Valley Times today, Jackson County Administrator presents $640 million recommended budget. They've had to boost that up about 4.7% from last year. And once again, inflation. Inflation is hitting everywhere. Now, the money coming into the county is limited at 3%. You know, you have the 3% increase in assessed value that is on your property because the county gets $2.01 per thousand. That is the permanent levy, the permanent operating levy for Jackson County. And that also includes funding the sheriff's department out of that. There's no law enforcement budgeting or anything like that. It just comes out of the general fund, that sort of thing. So it goes up 3% a year. But the county costs are up 4.7%, and a lot of that due to, boy, insurance. The self-insurance premium expenses, and they took a lot of that in-house over at Jackson County. I'm doing a little spitballing on this and kind of paraphrasing stuff that I've read in there. But Jackson County was really saving quite a bit of money the way they were running things in their health insurance thing. But even then, the health insurance costs have exploded. So they're looking at a 23% increase in the health insurance costs and 6% increase in personnel costs, including cost of living increases and PERS retirement increases, too. So all of that is going to be quite the challenge. So they'll be talking about that over the next few days, too. All right. So we've had all that serious news, and we'll wrap up with the silly news of today. Today is National 8-Track Tape Day. Did you know that? Think about that and smile. Did you ever have an 8-Track tape player, you know, back in the day? Don't know how old you are. I assume that maybe a lot of people did. Everybody did. At least everybody that I knew had an 8-Track tape player back in the day. That was such a miracle before the whole idea of online music and radio everywhere and yada, 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 and streaming this and streaming that. And if you wanted to have your music, you had to have a selection of 8-tracks, and then later cassettes. And in the 1964, that's when it was invented, Bill Lear of Learjet Corporation, along with Ampex, Ford Motor Company, General Motors, and RCA, created the 8-track tape, also known as Stereo 8, first player released in 1965, and it finally died about 1982. So it lasted a little less than 20 years. No one's made any 8-track tapes, and there's been no talk of an 8-track tape revival so far. The only 8-tracks that are out there are the ones that you can find in the garage sales or over at Goodwill and, you know, the various other thrift stores, that kind of thing. And I was thinking about the way 8-tracks, and by the way, 8-track tapes really, I think, were borrowed from the continuous loop tapes that broadcast facilities were using there, too, continuous loop. And then they ended up, changing it around a bit, a little inside baseball. There are still times, though, that I remember music, classic rock music in my case, given that, I'm a late boomer, Generation Jones or whatever it is. And I had the Boston album, 1976, on 8-track tape. And if you had the 8-track, you know, I'm listening to it in the car and just jamming and this and that and the other. And sometimes weird things had to be done on the continuous loop tape. If you know the song Hitch a Ride, gonna hitch a ride, wait for the other side or whatever it is, they faded out and then they went to the rest of the song with the big ka-chunk as it changed channel. This is the way I always remembered hearing it back when I was a kid in the day. Okay, so we go into the end guitar solo and it fades out. Ka-chunk. That's exactly how it sounded. And I listened to it for years. And when I finally got the CD and the album and everything else later on, finally got the CD in the 1980s, fleshing that out, I couldn't get used to actually hearing the entire song without the fade out and the ka-chunk. I was so conditioned to it. Pretty funny in the grand scheme of things. But yep, happy birthday to the 8-track tape day. It is 628 KMED KCMD. Little silliness there.
Are you craving a tasty and satisfying lunch option? Look no further. Artisan Bakery Cafe is offering fresh salad wraps. Now you can turn any of their delicious salads, whether it's our fresh house salad, classic Caesar salad, or flavorful cranberry almond feta, into a scrumptious wrap. And that's not all. You can customize it with your choice of turkey, ham, roast beef, or chicken salad for that extra protein punch. Stop by today and enjoy indoor-outdoor seating across from Fred Meyer at 1325 Center Drive in Medford. That's Artisan and Bakery Cafe.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
When it comes to lumber, are you bemused? If so, choose Hughes. And when it comes to who to use Hughes. And when you want the best lumber at the best prices, they've got your number at Hughes Lumber. So when it comes to who to use Hughes at Hughes Lumber. They don't balk, they walk the walk and talk the talk. So all in all, I say to you, let Hughes Lumber help you through on Crater Lake Highway next to Garrison's. Hughes Lumber.
Whether you've had your car for a few months or many years, most people take pride in their vehicles and take good care of them. So when an accident happens, Lithia Body and Paint knows you want it back on the road fast, looking better than ever. Since 1946, Lithia Body and Paint has been putting minor dings and major collisions in the rearview mirror. Service, speed, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint. Repair so good. It's like it never happened. Find them on Bullock Road just off Crater Lake Highway in Medford. Lithia Body and Paint.
Hi, I'm Charlene, owner of American Industrial Door, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
We still don't know who the winner is of that $1.3 billion Powerball ticket, but it was sold in Northeast Portland. They haven't come over or come forward yet, and they have up to a year to do that. But boy, that's life-changing money, huh? Did you buy a ticket? Yeah, I bought a ticket too, and I was just fantasizing. You just fantasize. For me, it was like fantasizing coming into work and saying, "Hey, I'm just going to buy the place. That's what I'm going to do. Just buy the place and have a lot of fun. I'll hire a call screener. That's what I would do. Right? We'll just have that. I would be too bored to be absolutely retired. I really would be. Maybe you think I'm crazy. I don't know, but. $1.3 billion. How much will the state of Oregon get from this? Somewhere, according to Oregon Live, between $61 million and $131 million in state taxes. Now, knowing that the state government's going to get this, wouldn't you think Tina Kotek would look at what's happening with the water plant or the pipe issue in Gold Hill or Shady Cove or Rogue River, these various other places? Wouldn't you think she'd be looking a little more favorably on such issues? Or is this all about punishing Southern Oregon because Southern Oregon is not necessarily completely down with the plan? Yeah, the woke plays over at Oregon Shakespeare Festival. They get $2.5 million. Tina ends up giving $600,000 to the Oregon Caves, which is a federal park, by the way. Trying to figure out how that works, for crying out loud. And they want to cut the infrastructure out for Little Shady Cove and Gold Hill and the various other small burgs. Guess you guys be careful not to upset the queen bee too much, eh? Sure. It's 6:32. KMED, KCMD. We'll catch up on the rest of the news from our NBC5 news folks. And then after that, how big of a liar is the PolitiFact fact checker? Fair and balanced? There's actually a study been done on that. We'll kick it around next.
Joel here with a mass story problem from Butler Ford and Truck Center. If Ford gives you a $5,000 rebate and Butler Ford matches it with a $5,000 discount and the government gives you a $7,500 tax credit, how fast will a Ford Lightning EV pickup that's saving you $17,500 go from 0 to 60? How about 4.2 seconds? And that's why I want you to test drive one this week. If after your Lightning test drive you decide you want to go with a good old-fashioned gas-powered F-150, not a problem. I've got them in stock with 1.9% financing for 72 months. And that Lightning test drive, 0 to 60 and 4.2, well, that can just be a really cool story you tell your buddies. Butler says yes to bigger discounts and rebates. Butler says yes to giving you more for your trade. Butler says yes to 1.9% financing for 72 months. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where we've got your truck, your SUV, certified pre-owned, hybrid, EV, and huge savings.
72 monthly payments of $14.71 per thousand finance on approved credit through Ford Credit. Offer expires 4/30/24.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Serna with your NBC5 morning news update. A federal judge has sided with the city of Medford in a lawsuit challenging the city's camping ordinance. In 2021, a Medford lawyer filed a lawsuit against the city on behalf of several homeless individuals after the city council approved a new camping ordinance. After the judge ruled the city's law is legal, the city of Medford said it was pleased with the ruling. Then a woman accused of starting a fire at a West Medford home last week has been deemed unfit to stand trial. After her court hearing Tuesday, Candace Hastings is set to be transported to the state hospital for mental health treatment. The fire on April 2nd started on the porch of the home on Noragan Street. Since Hastings was charged with Measure 11 crime, she could spend up to a year at the state hospital. And a recent order from a federal judge has changed the way the state approaches treating people who are not fit to stand trial. In Oregon, the maximum time a person can be held at the state hospital is 3 years, but the new federal ruling overrides the state statutes and only allows the state to hold people who are unfit to stand trial for a maximum of 1 year. That maximum is also only for people who are accused of committing serious felonies. For misdemeanor, a person can only be held at the hospital for 90 days. For local news anytime, head on over to our website, KOBI5.com, or our Facebook page. That's a look at your morning headlines. For NBC5 News, I'm Natalie Serna. Have a great day.
Hi, this is Paul at Valley View Nursery. Spring has sprung, and it's time to get your garden on. Amend those garden beds with Bumper Crop Soil Builder. Buy three, get the fourth one free. It's also time to plant your blueberries, raspberries, and grapes. Fruit trees, too, now 20% off. For color and choice you won't see anywhere else and spring promotions, go to valleyviewnursery.com. Google Map Valley View Nursery and find us closer than you think.
Well, you know a doorless stove and spas we both recommend.
Now I told you where, let us tell you why, you ought to stop and see our friend.
Lamont here from Orly Stoves and Spas. Are you tired of those huge heating bills just to stay warm and comfortable in your own home? Then now is the time for a new wood, gas, or pellet stove from Orly Stoves and Spas. Orly's has Southern Oregon's largest inventory with over 400 stoves in stock now. Never be cold again. And for a limited time, receive a 30% tax credit on qualifying wood or pellet stoves and installation. Are you ready for a relaxing spring and summer enjoying your new pool, swim spa, or hot tub? Then Orleans has everything you need. We are fully stocked on splash around above ground pools and accessories. Orleans is Southern Oregon's largest cattle spa dealer with over 55 spas and swim spas in stock now, as well as the shortest lead time of any dealer in the valley on any special order. Don't forget to ask us about our easy financing. Orleans Soaps and Spas at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway, Medford, 541-779-5340.
It's amazing. What's right under your floor can impact your whole house. Musty smells, wall cracks, uneven floors, doors and windows that stick. These could all be your home sending you warning signs that there's a problem. But one simple call can be the answer to fixing everything under your home. For more than a decade, Terra Firma has been our area's number one solution for better basements, foundations, and crawl spaces. So why waste another day worrying? Make an investment in a more healthy, more valuable home. Call Terra Firma today.
The Bill Myers Show is on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
Tim Graham is the executive editor of Newsbusters. It is also the Media Research Center's director of media analysis, host of the Newsbusters podcast, too. Been there, 25 years you have been working this. How are you doing this morning, Tim? Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I hesitate to say 35.
Oh, 35. Okay. I was just doing quick math in my hat. You're right. 35. Well, that's true. And so I'm looking at 44 years in my broadcast career. Oh, my gosh, Tim. My, how the years have flown. Okay.
We'll just
kind of leave it at that. But one thing is for certain, though, that the bias in some ways, I think, is actually getting worse in the media coverage. And one of the favorite ways to beat down an opponent out there is to pull a fact check on some kind of claim or a party out there. Now, there have been other ones like Snopes and Democrats, but hold up, well, Snopes says that this is absolutely wrong, even though you could, you know, prove it. But then there's PolitiFact. And PolitiFact has been considered, well, this is kind of honest, across-the-board sort of situation. You know, but who gets more liar, liar, pants on fire, you know, when they have those kind of ratings or if someone is actually fibbing and something that they claim? Why don't you break down this latest report from MRC? It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, well, thank you. We looked at the first 3 months of 2024, and what the pattern I was finding was, well, let's just look at named politicians or officials. You know, they have these categories for Facebook posts or viral videos or things that are going around. But the ones that are actually about people, and when they had Republicans, politicians or officials, they ended up as mostly false or pants on fire,
mm-hmm.
Almost 75% of the time. Oh, well, that's interesting. All right, well, let's compare that to the Democrats. The Democrats they identified were called mostly false or pants on fire 25.6% of the time. Nobody expects that you're going to make it 50-50, but I think in this case you're seeing a rather dramatic emphasis here. They're basically trying to tell you one party stuffed full of liars and the other one's largely reliable. I mean, the number of Democrat fact checks that are true or mostly true is more than 50%. I think it's 56%.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's dramatic. And I think what's important, what we found over the years, is it's one thing for them to say, well, Tim, Donald Trump, you know, he's in a league of his own. But, you know, the reality is they do this to all Republicans. They certainly did it to Ted Cruz. I like comparing back in 2012. Ted Cruz was running for the Senate for the first time. So was Elizabeth Warren. They assaulted Ted Cruz with fact checks. Elizabeth Warren didn't have one. And that's, you know, that's sort of the pattern. I mean, to this day, Elizabeth Warren's never been put on the PolitiFact Truth-O-Meter on "I was a Cherokee Indian." That's my background.
Really? I mean, one of the biggest known stories, the falsehood that she talked about quite routinely, and they never even touched that ever.
No, they have this. What they do is they do a story where they're like exploring Warren's biography, and then they don't use the Truth-O-Meter, so that if you go to her page on PolitiFact and see how reliable she is, that one's not on there. And, you know, so, for example, in the study period here, March 27, President Biden goes to the bridge in Baltimore and says, "I've been over this bridge many times in a car or by train."
Isn't that a physical impossibility, Tim?
Right. So there's no train tracks on this bridge. And PolitiFact writes the story going, Well, here's what he said, but, you know, the White House clarified it that that's not what he meant. And so they put there's no truth-o-meter.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess there's no setting on the truth-o-meter or the PolitiFact truth-meter for I'm senile and infirm. Sorry. You know, they don't have a needle setting for that, and that could be part of it.
Well, one of the things, you know, really, and I don't put this in the study I just did because it's faded a little bit, but, you know, Joe Biden could say the Republicans are Jim Crow 2.0, or they make Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle, whatever that means. There was no check of that. So the President of the United States can suggest that the other party, the Republican Party, is a segregationist institution. And PolitiFact says, fair statement, there was no fact check. In fact, none of these fact checkers, whether it's Snopes, whether it's CNN and Daniel Dale, whether it's AP, there's something called lead stories that Facebook uses. None of these fact checkers said a word about Jim Crow 2.0.
Could it be because it's a political claim or a political opinion? I'm trying to give the benefit of a doubt. Just saying, because, you know, there are times that I will certainly engage in a touch of hyperbole to make a point.
Yes, well, but that's exactly the point, is that Republican hyperbole is not allowed.
Ah.
One of my favorite examples is David Perdue is running for the Senate against John Ossoff, the Democrat, and he says John Ossoff is a socialist, which, if you look at his stances, is a fair statement, in my opinion.
Right.
Pants on fire, says PolitiFact. Pants on fire. You can't say John Ossoff's a socialist. Doesn't matter if he likes Bernie Sanders. You can't say it. And so that's kind of the point I'm trying to make, is that when you say, let's say, the Democrats hate America, right? Mark Levin, that was basically his book. Fact-checkers don't like that. I mean, I don't think they fact-checked Mark Levin's title, but, you know, they're very sensitive. Some of the studies I've done, and I need to do this again, is that I have found there are six times as many fact-checks on PolitiFact of criticism of Biden or negative lines on Biden.
So PolitiFact is, in essence, in the tank trying to protect the Biden administration by fact-checking criticisms of Biden then. That's one way that PolitiFact is being weaponized then in the season.
Right. So there's six times as many fact-checks of criticism of Biden than there are fact-checks of Biden. And in that case, it's a lot of these Facebook pages. And some of them are quite ridiculous, like, you know, it's not true that Joe Biden is dead, you know. So I'm not saying they're all serious, but you just get that sense. You know, the dominant thing in this three-month period, Biden had 12 fact checks. The dominant ruling was six of them were half true, which means PolitiFact in a lot of cases are trying to say, well, there's some elements.
Yeah, there's wiggle room there, in other words. They're giving some cover. So, Tim Graham, what about who actually is PolitiFact, or what actually is PolitiFact? Can you actually point to the people that run this, or is this a consortium of the news organs that put this together? Where does PolitiFact come from?
Okay, so it starts in 2007 at the Tampa Bay Times, or what was the St. Petersburg Times, and then they rebranded it as the Tampa Bay Times. It's owned now by the Poynter Institute, which owns the Tampa Bay Times. And the Poynter Institute has a website at poynter.org, and it's a little bit broader than this, but basically what you've got here is somebody who's exactly in line with the Brian Stelters of the world. Brian Stelter loves PolitiFact and has spoken at events of PolitiFact. And, you know, when PolitiFact has a conference, that's what they do. They bring in, like, Christiane Amanpour and Anthony Fauci. And, you know, everybody agrees on what the truth is. And I think that's exactly what we're trying to point to, is we're trying to say to people to be critical of so-called fact-checkers is not hostility to facts. It's trying to point out that people who claim to have this monopoly on the truth are quite energetically spinning on behalf of the Democrats. And the real danger in that is that social media websites, platforms, use fact-checkers to suppress information.
Oh, so you can have, and you have a criticism of the Biden administration. You put do a Facebook post of it. Facebook will note that there is a PolitiFact liar, liar, pants on fire, you know, kind of rating on that, even if it's not true. And they will use that then to make sure that your post goes nowhere and people don't see anything. Is that how that works?
Yeah, and it's multiple fact checkers that these people rely upon. You know, this is one of the reasons they hate Elon Musk's version of Twitter, is they don't suppress that anymore. And you know, some people really enjoy the community notes on Twitter because it feels like fact checking. And there's some important things that they'll do to add context. And I, once again, I would never say everything PolitiFact does is cockamamie or false. It's just that there's a pattern. There's a selection bias is what we're really trying to say.
Yeah, it's choosing what they – well, there's a choice in how they do their fact-checking, and one of the biggest biases on whether or not they call a fact-check, because here it is. Democrats are actually in control of the organs of the federal government, and there have only been 39 fact-checks of Democrats so far in the first quarter of this year, and yet almost twice as many with Republicans, and Republicans aren't even in control of the branches of government, especially the administrative state.
Well, they have the House by a sliver.
Yeah.
But yes, I started this particular study when I noticed in the first 3 weeks of January, it was 20 fact checks of Republicans to one of Biden. And I thought, wow, if this continues, that's going to be that's going to be something else. And so I tweeted out, hey, it's 20 to one. And within a couple of days, they had done five fact check the Democrats. It's one of those moments where you're like, I think somebody saw me.
Yeah, well, and you also have it to the bank here that Republican fact checks, three-fourths of them are mostly false or worse, you know, the liar, liar one, and only one-fourth of Democrat fact checks are mostly false. So the implication then is that Democrats are truth tellers, Republicans are liars. That's it. That's the bias that comes through with PolitiFact. And so, once again, who's going to be fact-checking the fact-checkers, Tim Graham? I guess this is the ongoing question. By the way, are there any right-wing fact-checkers here for change, maybe just to take it on in the other direction?
The Daily Caller has a Check Your Fact section. The Weekly Standard, before it met its demise, tried to have a fact-checking thing. We have a page or a tag called Fact Checking the Fact Checkers at Newsbusters, where all of this stuff comes together. And then, of course, tags for the individual sites. So we have a PolitiFact tag where you can look at everything we've done on PolitiFact. There's a book called Fact Checking the Fact Checkers that we didn't do, but by a man named Matt Palumbo, who works for Bongino Report. That's a good book.
Mm-hmm.
It is... there is an emerging industry here of pushback in trying to question some of the decisions that are made. The way that these things are suppressed, just the same way that they tried to say the COVID lab leak theory is a dangerous conspiracy theory and it's racist.
Yeah, it's racist.
The Hunter Biden laptop is a Russian conspiracy theory, the disinformation effort.
And then you have a situation if you try to do a story about the Biden child diary, the daughter, Joe Biden's daughter,
yes.
And of course, they're really going hard after the person who stole the diary. But they're trying to make it sound as if this is fake information that's in the diary when the Biden woman confirmed it, that it was all true. You know, that's what she wrote. And yet the fact checkers would go after that, too. So there's a lot of repression that goes on with this. But I also have to say, Tim, I think that conservative world has been kind of falling down on the job here. When you have an industry of fact-checking, which is so obviously biased, there does need to be a little bit of fighting fire with fire, wouldn't you think? Not just calling them out for being bad.
Yeah, and we do try to do some of this, too, in basically trying to suggest the president said this today, and it's obviously false, and the networks didn't touch it. There's a lot of that. You know, one of the funniest things about PolitiFact, you mentioned Ashley Biden, who nobody hears about. It's the only child of Joe and Jill. Remember, Hunter Biden and his brother Beau had another mother who died. But the Hunter Biden does not have any fact checks on PolitiFact. Like, you know, like he's 17. No,
oh, yeah. Well,
obviously,
what an interesting sin of omission there, huh?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of these. I like to play this game where I'm like, so-and-so has no fact, has no page on PolitiFact. You know, Jen Psaki, when she was named White House press secretary, barely had any fact checks, you know. And even to this day, you're going to find the Karine Jean-Pierre page is pretty sparse.
Interesting indeed. PolitiFact's Truthometer has a dramatic Democrat Party tilt. That's the latest study, and it makes for interesting reading at newsbusters.org. And I'm going to post that here. But, you know, I guess there needs to be a GOP, I don't know if you want to call it a BS-ometer, you know, or maybe you come up with a BS-ometer, you know, of some sort of thing. And but the thing about the reason why people will end up going to those Snopes and PolitiFacts is that they make it pretty easy. Do you agree? And they make it pretty easy to go to it and find something on it. And let's face it, it's kind of funny to put a meter on your post or something that says liar, liar, pants on fire on it.
especially the pants on fire tag, which is very much editorializing. Now, here's one more number for you. Trump has 187 pants on fire ratings. He's clearly number one. Biden, who's been there the entire time, a politician since 2007, in his entire career, he has 7.
All the lies and the BS in all those years, he has 7 pants on fire fact checks out of all that time, that entire Senate career and the presidency? Wow.
Since PolitiFact started, Trump has 5 in 2024.
Okay. Tim Graham, executive editor of Newsbusters Media Research Center's director of media analysis. Thank you for doing this media analysis, Tim. And I really do. I do pray that one of the best ways to fight something like this would be to have some of our own fact-checking with a kind of a branding, that sort of thing. Poynter Organization, from what I understand, is a big so-called, and I put this in scary air quotes, good journalism organization, is it not? It kind of has a pretty good brand name out there, but they're just as hard left in the tank as the rest, right? That's kind of the bottom line here.
I think we just need to all understand that these so-called independent fact checkers are just as independent as MSNBC. They're just as independent as CNN. You know, some of these fact checkers are the Washington Post fact checker, the CNN fact checker, the AP fact checker. They're all just the same thing as the regular reporters. They all still have that same tilt and animus.
And what's also a concern to me is that in the AI, the artificial intelligence world, as they go through and scrape web pages, machine learning ends up absorbing this kind of material, too. It ends up training. I wonder if there's been any thought on that, what happens to the AI world.
Yeah, I mean, our Free Speech America project has been quite active in looking at, for example, just the tremendous tilt of ChatGPT and Google's Bard, B-A-R-D, Google's Bard. We had made the point that Google's AI will not answer the question, what's the capital of Israel? Because Israel's not really a place.
Oh, it's an idea, right? Just like the United States. Okay. Tim, great talking with you, and thanks for the study. And I appreciate that.
You
we'll
bet.
Put that up, and we'll spread that out as much as we can. And always appreciate your work at MRC Newsbusters, okay? You take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
655. You're on KMED, KCMD.
One of each, Forte VIN, 770-783, MSRP, 21-645, 3500 due. Sol VIN, 235213, MSRP, 22-210, 3500 due, 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 4/30/24.
Making payments on a car you don't want to drive anymore? You need Kia Medford's Payment Wipeout. We're wiping out all the payments you have left on your old car so you can drive a new Kia, like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS or a new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $149 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Get into a new Kia, like Fortes or Souls. Your choice, just $149 a month during the payment wipeout at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. Through April, purchase a set of four Cooper tires for practically whatever you drive, and you'll get a Visa reward card in the mail. Get $100 on top of the line Cooper Discover STT Pro Mud Terrains or Cobra Instincts for your sports car. Get $75 on five styles of all-terrain truck tires, including the popular AT3 XLT, and get $50 on three styles of all-season passenger tires, including Endeavor. Save on Cooper tires at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford. NoWiresNow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
This is the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMET and 99.3 KCMD.
By the way, we will have a Diner 62 quiz this morning. Great question. I was taking a look at this. I think it's going to be a musical question. So we'll even have some music to go along with that. And that'll be coming up between 8:30 and 9, last part of Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Yep, it is Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Some emails of the day. Emails of the day now are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. It's on Freeman Way, right next to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant. So you got the McDonald's in Central Point, then the Mazatlan, and then there's Dr. Steve Nelson. Nice place, great people. And they have an in-house lab that they can actually do your crowns. Get your crown, instead of having to send it out to an out-of-state lab or something like a lot of places used to have to do, they've got the machinery and the people, and they just make it while you work, or while you wait, rather. It's really, really cool. Find out more at CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. Ira Edwards writes me this morning, the other day, says, Bill, why do those who demand that Israel do more to avoid civilian casualties never suggest that Hamas should do more to avoid civilian casualties? That's a really good question. And I would imagine it's because of politics. Yeah, pretty simple about that. Jim Bob writes me this morning. Hey, Bill. Good morning, Your Majesty. Comrade Bill, just thought I would help you with the correct way to pronounce baton. Now, of course, I said the Baton Death March the other day in our Diner 62 quiz. It's actually Bataan. In Tagalog, the national language of the Philippines, every letter is pronounced. There are no silent letters. I lived there for almost 10 years, and my wife and I still have a house in Bataan. Is that how you do it? Is that how you do it, Jim Bob? Is it Bataan? Okay, I guess that's what it is. Bataan, the Bataan Death March, right? I've hiked some of the Death March, by the way, and have ridden nearly all of it on motorcycle. The thing I learned about World War II, the invasion of the Philippines and the Battle of Bataan, were absolutely incredible. Someday I will have to write about that. Cheers, Jim Bob. Jim Bob, I really appreciate you writing about that, sharing the story. Betty writes from Joe County. Bill, the reason there are so many children being spayed or neutered, in other words, the transgender kind of thing, is because the mother usually wanted an opposite sex child that they got. They will down talk the child they are carrying, and of course, the whole household will hear about it 24/7. And it's just another way of brainwashing from within. Parents will carry throughout the kid's formative years, and it's a huge chance the child will be dressed starting at birth as the opposite sex. The parent needs the same counseling as the child before the knife is sharpened. The parents are the sick ones, and I bet a lot of them are on drugs. In my own family, years back, the sister-in-law was obsessed with having a girl, and when a baby boy was born, the number one child was ready to kill the baby. I believe every case could be explained in this way. Interesting take on that, Betty. But even look at it in the celebrity world. Let's see, I was recalling, what was it? Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner's kid ended up now being called a different name, Finn. Yeah, it was a she, and then she's finally at the age of 15 coming out, buzz cut, Finn, et cetera, et cetera. This didn't happen until Finn started hanging out with J-Lo's kid. And J-Lo's kid, of course, famously went transgender too. It really is kind of like a contagion. It's a contagion. It becomes the cool way to stand out. And, well, of course, you're having to do this because all of a sudden we're supposed to believe that, 30 to 40% of kids were all mistakes. Yeah, not buying that. Appreciate the email there. Hey, the Reverend David writes me about 8-tracks because today's National 8-Track Tape Day. He says, hi, Bill. I had a 4-track player. I didn't like the way the 8-tracks faded out the songs, like I mentioned with the Boston song, right, David? It didn't happen with the 4-tracks. They played like a record, one side at a time. Oh, I didn't know that. And is there anything else? Betty also adds on the lottery. A lottery winner did come forward on Monday, but it'll take 2 weeks before we're disclosed the name. Okay. All right. Thank you. Duly corrected. Doing a fact check on me, Betty, huh? All right. 770-5633. I'll grab a couple of calls before Town Hall News. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Bill, this is Brad. I've got a question for you.
Sure, Brad. What's going on?
Hey, on a serious note, I ran across an article that was really pretty disturbing about, and because you interview medical experts, this might come up, and you may be aware of it, but apparently funeral directors, either individuals or a group, have been doing some studies, and now there's international data where they're finding some very disturbing components in the dead bodies of people that have died of COVID.
Okay. One more time on that. But are you talking about the clots that they've been pulling out of cadavers,
yeah,
that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Out of the bodies. Yeah.
I don't know if that's a bunch of hooey but that the article was written by some pretty valid individuals.
No, it has. They have been seeing unusual clots right from the beginning of the vaccination regimen, Brad. This has been happening. It's been out there, and it's been pretty repressed in mainstream. You're only going to find it in alternative press. In fact, I even had a local funeral home director, or not a director, but someone who worked in the funeral home, conceding that they've seen. But of course, no one wanted to come on and talk about it at that point in time because of, you end up getting crushed and your Yelp reviews go crazy because telling the truth is such a, 2000, year 2000 kind of thing. But yeah. We've had even local funeral directors that talked about the unusual clots that were coming into the bodies, into the Rogue Valley during the pandemic time. Okay?
And a different note, real quickly, it's just disturbing. I listen to the radio a lot, and you hear federal stats on where our economy is, trying to tell us that our inflation rate's like 2%. And you hear independent studies done by very credible sources that are describing our economy maybe as much as 17% above where it was in January.
I know that John Williams at Shadow Stats is estimating inflation, calculated the way we used to look at inflation, taking in all the goods that most people use, in the neighborhood of 13-14%. That's just it. As inflation has been racing through the economy more and more over the years, and it is due to federal policy and the spending. That's part of it. It's money chasing fewer goods, that sort of thing. And they change the way they measure it. This is something that the federal government's been doing a long time. For a long time, they've been doing this here, Brad, and changing. Steak gets too expensive; it ends up being replaced in the consumer price index with hamburger. You know, that kind of thing, and it's looked at as an equivalent, that sort of thing. So, I suppose that when they replace the hamburger that's too expensive with mealworms from the Klaus Schwab Cafe, you know, that's going to be the equivalent too. Well, the insects are much less expensive. You know, and that's okay. So that'll tamp down inflation. So we always have to, once again, take government statistics, consider the source, okay? Appreciate the call, and thank you for that, all right? 770-5633. Good morning. Hi, who's this?
It's Logan, Bill.
Hey, Logan. Go ahead. What's up?
Hey, I wanted to comment on that man's comment on Tagalog, speaking about the Philippines.
So that's how you pronounce it? It's not Tagalog? Boy, I'm screwing everything up with the Philippines. Okay.
It's all right. You know, the Philippines is an area that people don't realize. There's over 7,000 islands in the Philippines. The one that my wife, we live on and have a bunch of land on, is one that wasn't even really invaded in World War II. Mm-hmm. People don't realize. They think, oh, well, you're going to go over there. It's going to be some sort of war zone when Japan goes to Taiwan. But there are so many smaller islands that aren't used as reports that there was really no action as far as World War II is concerned. I mean, I was able to talk with her great-grandfather there. I mean, it's been eight generations that have lived in the same home. So I want to just encourage your listeners, if they have not been, definitely take the opportunity, if you get the opportunity to check it out, because in the next 4 years, we're going to lock up our border tighter than a drum. I'm going to tell you that within the next 4 years, it's going to be locked up tighter than a drum. But the only thing is, it's not going to be to keep people out, if you know what I mean.
Hmm. Okay. Appreciate the call. Locked up tighter than a drum, huh?
It will happen. It's just a matter of, I don't think it's going to be to keep people out so much as it is to keep those, well, you can do the math, Bill. But
Well, the interesting thing is that Ron Paul used to talk about secure borders as ultimately that would be used to do that. Okay. Appreciate the call. And that's a conspiracy theory Thursday call for sure. 7 minutes after 7 at KMED, KCMD. Hey, I've been getting complaints about the KMED.com stream going down. It is having trouble connecting. I did look at that. We're going to restart the program here, so it might take a few minutes for it to get back because, naturally, what is it probably hanging on? A Windows update. God bless Windows, said no one ever. But we'll get the streaming back here in just a moment, okay?